Thank you, Claude. Quick observation. I had the opportunity to be a part of one of the demonstration sites that Gianfranco and Pat had referred to, and I became familiar with their website and services. If you've got interest in collaborative endeavors, would certainly encourage you to take a look at what they've got. I'm John Hornbeek. I'm with the Center for Public Policy and Health at Kent State University, and I'm here to focus a bit, if I can, on the last column of the spectrum that Pat presented a moment ago. I'm going to talk about consolidation of local health departments in the state of Ohio, and particularly their effects on external revenues. Before I get started, I want to acknowledge that the work that I'm going to present is a team effort. We've had multiple folks involved. Dr. Mike Morris is with us in the audience. Much of what I'm going to present to you, he has his fingerprints all over, so I'm glad he's going to be here to help respond to questions should those develop. Matt Stefanik and Josh Villa as well have played critical roles in this work and what I'm going to present. We have no relationships to disclose financially with private sector entities of any kind, but we do want to acknowledge, if we can, the support provided by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, the University of Kentucky College of Public Health, and the Research Association for Public Health Improvement in Ohio. In addition, we had great support from a number of public health leaders in the state of Ohio. They helped us conceptualize pieces of the project. They enabled us to learn from their experiences with consolidations. Joe Mazzola with the Ohio Department of Health provided much of the data that were used in the analyses I'm going to be presenting, and Marissa Bland of our staff helped in putting together the presentation here. In the next 10 minutes or so, I'm going to try to race through four things and give you a concise statement, if I can, essentially what some of the key pieces of literature say about the consolidation of local health departments. I want to take a couple of minutes and describe the study that we undertook and the methods and approaches we used. Then I'm going to present some findings. I'll present findings with regard to our initial hypothesis regarding the relationship between consolidation and external revenue generation. And then I'm going to share with you some tests we ran on an alternative hypothesis, because in this case, we found what we originally expected to happen did not, in fact, happen. And so we had to think a little bit creatively about how to figure out what our results meant in that sense. I'll close by summarizing some conclusions and discussing their implications for those in the local health department community who may want to consider consolidations. Well, what do we know about consolidations of health departments? I think one thing we know, and I think Pat's comments alluded to this, you know, there are about 2,500 local health departments in the country, and many of them serve relatively small numbers of populations. I think a majority serve less than 50,000 persons, and about 75%, according to the last numbers I saw, serve less than 100,000. A number of studies, or at least a couple, have pointed to the existence of economies of scale in the provision of local health department services. And by economies of scale, I mean that the cost of providing a unit of service decreases as the volume of that service provided increases, in a sense. Patrick Burdet and Simone Singh have pointed to that evidence of that kind of relationship using data from Florida. Rex Santeri had done studies that in Connecticut that reached similar conclusions and suggested that a minimum efficient scale for the delivery of public health services in the United States probably lies around 100,000 persons served. That's a significant number to keep in mind when you look at the predominantly small health department demographic that we have in this country in that area. We've also got some literature suggesting that when you consolidate local health departments, you can save money. I think we saw that in some case study work that we undertook, and then when we looked at consolidations across the state of Ohio in broader fashion. We found that same result being predominant across multiple consolidations. There's also some evidence that consolidating local health departments can, in fact, improve services in different ways. I'm not going to speak to that too much. We can deal with that in the question and answer session should there be interest in that. But there's very little known, very little recognized about the nature of the relationship between consolidation on the one hand and the impacts on external revenues on the other hand. Our hypothesis going into this project, and this drew much from the dialogue that was occurring in Ohio around 3 or 4 years ago when we started thinking about this project in the first place, was that we would expect local health departments merging to increase external revenue generation of those departments after that occurred. And the rationales that we heard around that concept were multiple. You're going to serve larger populations, thus meeting population thresholds. As you merge jurisdictions, you may get more low-income populations, and low-income populations are part of the requirements for a number of grants of different kinds. In addition, there was the point about competition. If you have two local health departments in roughly the same area, they may, in fact, compete with one another for the same grants. So the overall thinking was, heck, if we bring these organizations together, they're going to be more competitive for grants and external revenues should increase. That was the hypothesis we took off with 2 or 3 years ago when we got going. So how did we start evaluating that hypothesis? Well, we used a mixed method approach. We collected some basic data with the Department of Health's assistance on how many consolidations there had been in the state of Ohio of local health departments between 2001 and 2012. We looked at the numbers of health departments involved, and so we got a picture of what the landscape in the state looked like. We also used reported data, data that are reported from local health departments to the state of Ohio's Department of Health on an annual basis that report financial condition and a variety of parameters associated with that, and conducted analyses on those data. And then finally, we identified leaders of the consolidations that had taken place in the state and went through an interview process where we interviewed folks regarding their motivations and their perceived impacts associated with consolidations. I want to speak briefly, if I can, about some of the key components of both the quantitative and the interview portions of the analysis. The quantitative analysis controlled for a number of variables, including urban-rural status, propensities to spend locally on public services, population densities, and trends over time. When we compiled those data, Mike used a Heckman model to address the issue of selection bias in this case, because in this particular instance, health departments choose to consolidate, and as they choose to consolidate, there may be factors that drive that choice that also drive the dependent variable, in this case, the subsequent generation of external revenues. And because of that kind of situation, this kind of an analytical approach was an appropriate one. With regard to the interviews, we identified a total of 20 consolidations in the state of Ohio occurring between 2001 and 2012. We were able to contact and discuss the consolidation, the motivations for it, and its impact with 17 local health officials from those 20 jurisdictions. So we had a pretty good, you know, person-to-person exchange about what was occurring there. This kind of approach, while it is advantageous in that we've got a mixed method sort of approach, can attack the question from at least a couple of different perspectives, nevertheless has some limitations like most studies do. There are sample size limitations. There's only so many health departments in Ohio. There's only so many that have consolidated. So the sample size might not be as large as one might have hoped. There are potential sources of endogeneity that could exist in the models that we used that are not necessarily corrected by the Heckman selection bias approach. The interview data we compiled came from folks who were involved in these processes. So there's always the possibility of bias in those kinds of situations. And finally, our data are limited to Ohio. That's the state where all of this information comes. There's advantages to that, but it does raise questions about to what extent do these results extend across other jurisdictions throughout the country. What you've got in front of you here is a brief table. and it summarizes the consolidation activity that occurred in the state of Ohio between 2001 and 2012. What you see at the in the bottom column is that there's been a 13% reduction between those years between 2001 and 2012. But if you look at the top column, you'll realize that all of the reduction has occurred in city health departments, not county health departments. And what that means is in Ohio, the ways we've seen consolidation occurred has been through the merging of city and county health departments. And that's a particular feature in Ohio that one may need to be cognizant of as they look at these results. So what did our results suggest about our core question here, about the relationship between the consolidation of health departments and the subsequent generation of external revenues? Well, what we found is that the results did not support the hypothesis we went into the study with. And this lack of support does raise questions about the impacts of consolidation on external revenues. What we actually found was that the departments that had consolidated had a statistically significant reduction in revenues compared to those who had not. So we found the opposite of what we had expected when we initially ran the models. This set of model results, the bold post-consolidation row that you see there, displays that result. The negative sign in front of the coefficient column, that 0.417, indicates a negative relationship between the consolidating health departments and subsequent revenues, and the p-value there suggests that these results are significant at the 0.01 level. So what do we do with this, these results? How do we make sense of them? Well, one of the advantages that we had had as a result of some of the work we had done previously, as well as the mixed method approaches, is that we had an opportunity to talk to a number of the local health officials in the state of Ohio about their experiences. A number of them raised the issue of the transition that occurs when you merge departments and try to set up and operate a new system. And the comments that were made was that that's a pretty disruptive process when you take large departments and squash them together. We'd also had an opportunity to do a focused case study in 2012 of the consolidation that occurred in Summit County. And one of the things that came out of there very, very clearly was it was a very disruptive process, almost necessarily. Thank you. Yeah. That this was a disruptive process, and that process was characterized by many things. The phones all changes, the computers change, everybody's job descriptions are being rewritten. Based on these experiences, we hypothesized maybe we've got a disruption effect going on in our data here. And so how would we go about testing that disruption effect? One of the approaches said, well, let's look at just the first 2 years of post consolidation revenue information and see what happens there. If those coefficients that I looked at grow and the relationship continues, then we know that relationship is particularly strong in the first 2 years across our data set. Then let's also look at the years three and beyond, and if this is a disruption effect, we would expect that relationship to begin to disappear. So, when we actually did these two things, when we looked at the first 2 years of post-consolidation revenue, and then we looked at the 3 years, that's exactly what happened. We found a stronger coefficient in the coefficient column of our results, and that coefficient indicated that the effects were particularly strong in depressing post-consolidation revenue for the consolidating entities. We also found when we looked at the 3 years and beyond revenue that the effect disappeared altogether. So the table here indicates the results as they came out, and you'll see that negative coefficient of 0.477 is larger than the coefficient we had had in the previous model that included all of the years. And our statistical significance threshold is now 0.001. This effect was stronger than the effect when we held all the years together. This result shows the results for look these this table rather shows the results for all of the years following year three. And what you'll see is the equation is no longer statistically significant. Our lower confidence level has a negative sign. Our upper confidence level has a positive sign to it. Essentially what this means statistically is that the effect has disappeared. So virtually all of the impact that we've seen on post-consolidation revenues appears to have occurred in those first couple of years, thus supporting this disruption effect hypothesis that we generated after we were into the project. I'm not going to spend much time with this table. I'm just going to point out that 11 of the 17 folks we interviewed said they had no increase in external revenue within 1 year after the consolidation, thus indicating that our local health official interviews really were starting to tell the same story here as the quantitative modeling process that I've described a moment ago. So what are our conclusions? Local health department consolidation does not appear to have near-term positive effects on external revenue generation. In fact, our results suggest there's a statistically significant depression of external revenue in those first 2 years after a consolidation occurs. However, as we looked at the data in greater depth, that effect appears to disappear after 3 years, and that suggests there may be a return to normalcy after the consolidation process occurs. So what are the implications here? Well, it seems reasonably clear to us, based on the literature and our own experiences that, and some of the information that Pat shared in terms of the demo projects that they've had, that consolidation can save jurisdictions money. There seems little doubt about that. At the same time, however, one should anticipate some potential disruptions and potentially negative effects in the near term on external revenues associated with them. Those can be managed. Those are the kinds of things that folks involved in consolidations should be thinking about managing. And then finally, I think the impacts of consolidation over the long term, still an open question. That's something that we probably need to look more deeply in. It does appear that the unexpected result that we initially found does disappear after a couple of years, and that's worth some more attention. So with that, I say thank you and appreciate your time and attention.